Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we are in the Cafe Book Club. We are in Faith for the Unbelievers by Mr. Daniel Chesney Cantor. And we are in Chapter 2 talking about trust. And you know what I really I love and appreciate about Daniel's writing is I am learning so much. Like we talked before about, you know, you take these different words like trust and faith and loyalty and look them up in the dictionary, but you're never going to see the kind of concepts that we're talking about with this book. And I think it's something very, very, so much of a gift to be able to do that. So I'm going to go ahead and get my co-host. Miss Amy, how are you tonight?
I don't trust what's going to happen tonight. You two, amazing.
I'm trusting it's going to be marvelous and looking really good. So there you go.
Our world.
And Miss,
you're going to change my world.
Miss Elena is in Texas tonight trying to keep herself warm. So we're going to have a hot conversation.
Texas is frozen over.
We're going to get it going. We're going to get it warmed up and ready to go. There you go.
Trust that
girlfriend. You're going to be like, woo! I gotta wipe off here once I get a towel because I've just been working up a sweat. It's so hot. Okay. Anyway, and I think one thing that I really love about Daniel that we actually even talked at the on the first show when he was on the show was, you know, what are you setting your heart upon? And I really want to kind of put that as kind of a just like a little bookmarker for each of these different things about, you know, what am I setting my heart upon when it comes to trust? And right into the first paragraph or so, he talks about, you know, quoting some people about talking about, you know, trust is an ingredient of faith that sometimes challenges us to give up the control or the notion that we are in control. It means finding comfort in change. And I really love that finding comfort in change. That's what we're talking about when it comes to the theme of the show tonight is I have that as our just kind of the theme for the night about. And I love the fact that we're finding comfort in change because, boy, between COVID and the last, 6 years, we had definitely been being like, change now, change, change, change. There's so much change going on that there can be this just really great invitation to ourselves that we can find comfort in that. And I think it's about the resilience of soul and everything else that we've been talking about the last, you know, couple months. So what do you think about that, Aim?
I just love how he brings so many faith traditions to the table, and he talks about Sharon Salzberg. I love her work. I've read some of her books, and she talks about that she's an American Buddhist, and that faith points out that faith as trust is confidence in change, and she encourages her followers to see faith as a way towards action and commitment, living at ease and trusting in the world. Can create a sense of groundedness and presence. And Alana, what would that, or even that next sentence or two, I think, or maybe it's one long sentence, you know, resonates with you, or does it?
Oh, you know, yes. I have definitely highlighted alternative areas of here, things that really spoke to me. The one thing that really jumped out at me was... you know, we have all been, my family especially, has been isolated since last March. You know, we're coming up on a year of no school, no vacation, no anything. We have stayed in our home most of the time, only to get out in nature just a little bit, you know. And very, you know, interesting how he says here, and just as friends can increase our happiness, isolation can increase our desire for self-protection.
Wow.
That one, I was like, oh, zinger, you know? Like, like putting that trust in humanity again is going to be hard for me, I think, you know? And the self-protection that we have. I mean, rightly so at this time. You know, we really should not all be congregating, right? But
yeah.
I wonder what the effects of this self-isolation is going to be long-term for me, for my kids, you know, and how
mm-hmm.
we trust, again, out in the world.
Well, yeah, and that's a really good point. I remember, you know, it was, geez, probably at least 6 weeks, maybe 2 months before I drove, you know, when everything
yeah.
first hit. And
yeah.
I remember getting back in the car and thinking, gosh, do I trust myself to drive? Do I remember?
Right.
You know, it's like I've been driving forever, but it's like it was so weird. And I think it's kind of like that,
sure.
things that we used to just take for granted, that, you know, trusting in your ability, trusting that people are going to, you know, be where they're supposed to be and all that. I hadn't thought of it like that, but that makes a lot of sense.
I thought it was interesting that people would automatically be 6 feet away from each other, even in their cars.
Oh, yes.
I saw a lot of people doing
that,
spacing
actually.
With their cars. Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. Yeah.
It's so funny. Last night, this is hilarious, I had a dream I was someplace in a public place and nobody had masks on and I was panic struck. Isn't that funny?
Oh,
it was
yeah.
like before, it was like, that'd be no big deal, but it was a nightmare. My nightmare was nobody had masks on.
Yeah, it would have been
oh,
the
yeah.
other way around. All these people are masked and you're not. Maybe that would have been the freak out.
It was just that when I woke up, I thought, wow, how the world has changed. You know, what
mm-hmm.
you're afraid
and how,
of.
And how your subconscious has changed. You know, how much the fear has become ingrained in our subconscious. Like when I watch TV shows and I see people not masked or people, you know, you know, just that first initial reaction, I'm just like, what are they doing? Okay, never mind. It's just, you know, this is before.
No,
COVID,
I laughed.
You know,
that was
that
BC. That was before COVID, yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I know my daughter, you know, my 7-year-old will watch TV sometimes and she'll, it'll be, you know, it was interesting to watch, what was it the other day? The Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they were having that concert and people were out there and everybody was masked, but still she was appalled, you know? And my daughter just was not sure what to think about these people being outdoors together, you know, in COVID, you know, the fear is deep. And so I just wonder how long that will perpetuate itself, you know?
Right. And
how
do we support each other in having healthy trust, right? So it's like finding
right.
that, you
yeah.
know, that balance and trusting and there's so many levels to trust and so many directions. I'm going to come back. We'll come back to that fear part here. And on 15, then that second paragraph says, faith is what gets us moving in the morning or enables us to take on new challenges, because every day in some way we move toward the unknown circumstances that will greet us. And then they says, but fear can challenge this kind of mindset. And a sentence that really struck me that I really want to dance with on that next page, that second paragraph, they says, I don't suggest we trust everyone and see the silver liner and everything. But if we imagine the world is always untrustworthy, our soul will suffer.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It says the habit of distrust can get in the way of living fully. I love
yes.
that. I was like, okay.
I underline
yes.
that. I starred that. I I
yeah.
even put that on,
yes.
on our Facebook page, too.
Yeah, the habit of distrust can get in the way of us living fully. To encounter that and begin to trust a person is a great gift to the world and to ourselves. And I thought it was interesting that he talked about, you know, trusting a person, and I thought of friendship. And one of the definitions mm-hmm. of friendship is a safe harbor.
Mm-hmm. Well, ship, right? Friendship.
Friendship, mm-hmm. yeah. So when you think of, like, you know, when it comes to a sense of I can trust where I am, it's a safe harbor. You know, I don't have to worry about, you know, heavy tides or, you know, the currents and all that. But I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny, you know, I think friendship, especially right now, has been tested, all relationships. But I think friendship in a very unique way. And what do a friendship mean to us? And how can I trust people? And what level that can I trust them? And here in 17, after this beautiful poem, it says, to learn to fully trust is to learn to give ourselves completely into another's care. Wow. And I'm, you know, kind of thinking about how many people in my life do I care, I feel that safe, that I feel that supported. I mean, definitely the two of you, and there's a couple other people, but there's a lot of other people I would not just try to fall back in their arms because they wouldn't even notice, and I'd be on the ground.
I looked at that there. There's a poem that Daniel had to put into this part. It's called The Buoyancy of Life. It's called First Lesson. And it was interesting because when I read it, I really wanted to kind of modify it a little bit because he's talking about his first lesson with his daughter. But I modified it and I said, lay back, let your head be dipped back into a cup in the cup of Spirit's loving hands. Gently hold yourself and spread your arms wide and let you stretch out and look high. It's like as you float now, what spirit holds you, let go and remember when fear cramps your heart, what do you know? Lay back gently and wide to the light year. Stars lay back and spirit will hold you. And I got guided on that. So I thought that was interesting. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with Watsu. Watsu is a practice. It's a way of being able to do energy work with people where you help them to shift energy while you are actually in the water and moving around. And what's really interesting mm-hmm. about Watsu is because, you know, we're electrical. And so, you know, how everything moves faster when it's in water. So the currents of your electrical systems will move faster when you're in water. So the amount of healing and shifting you can do in water is just amazing because the body has no resistance. The water actually helps to move it along faster. So it was interesting that, you know, here we're talking about being able to lay back and let spirit's loving hands, being able to be there to support you, just like energy, just like everything does when it comes to being able to trust that something bigger has me and always has me, and I can know that I'm safe in that harbor.
And what we've talked about before is that healthy doubt. So mm-hmm. I believe that trust is a continuum. I don't think we completely trust or completely not trust. I think it's mm-hmm. depending on the person and the situation, different trust levels. And he talks about risk and trusting. And I love this sentence. It's on 18. Risk sometimes requires that we go a few metaphorical miles from home, beyond the borders of comfort. And its rewards can represent new opportunities to learn and build on faith. And I think I'm really looking at how much am I willing to risk in order to be in that state where I can totally find people and relationships and organizations and work that I can fall back into those arms.
Well, Alana, can you share the story about the member of the congregation that that Daniel had about swimming?
Yeah. That's what I was going to go to. Definitely. So, you know, that's a member of the congregation that had, he came up to Daniel after he gave that poem and he says, do you remember that feeling of putting yourself in another's arm? And, you know, Daniel was like, what? And then he said, you know, he talked about how he didn't learn to swim until he was 45. He had lost sister to drowning accident when they were young, and but he decided that was just he was you know letting fear he had to face the fear and learn how to swim, and so he went and learned to swim, and it changed his life. And he said, you know, I love this. So he says, when I learned to rest in it, my life changed. And not only could I do the breaststroke, but I could trust other people, believe in them, and surrender a piece of myself to every relationship I have. But the most beautiful part of this story that I just love, I mean, obviously very moving experience, but the man told him, I trust you.
Mm-hmm.
And he told him, I trust you. And what powerful words. I mean, you can love someone, right? But do you mm-hmm. trust
right.
them?
Mm-hmm. To
and
what level?
When
you trust them, but do you fully trust them?
Right. So when you say, I trust you, that's very vulnerable. That's very primal to
risky.
Me. Just that.
That's risky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you're not just putting your faith in somebody, you're putting that trust in someone, trusting them with your own heart, trusting them with your own self is powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
indeed.
I thought that was such a good. And I love the fact that here he's in his 40s. And he'd waited all that time because of his sister dying, that he finally just kind of had kind of like a midlife awakening to he didn't want the second part of his life to be limited, you know, and being able to be, you know, and, you know, we could look at the swimming as learning to be in the flow in a new way.
Well, and I think it's
being
a great metaphor
a different way.
For anybody reading this and sharing this with us, that, you know, age doesn't mean, you know, you're never going to be able to trust. You know, you can. You know, you have to do the work, but you can do it. You can do it. One of I used to do a lot of work with trust in the workplace, and I would do different exercises with people. Well, one of the things that when you're looking at trusting, I don't believe you totally trust or not trust. You just kind of look at this relationship and how am I going to work with these, you know, these people and be a relationship. It's kind of look at it as I give a person a dollar, I lend them a dollar, do they give it back? Then I give them $5, do they give it back? And then 10. And just kind of upping the ante, you know, and when you're emotional risking, I give them a little bit of who I am, right? And see, do they use that against me? And if not, okay, you know, are they loving about it? And then I just keep upping the ante. So you don't, I don't want people to think I have to totally trust or not trust, but you can build it. You can build it.
Right. So I love the next story where he talks about us going on this trip to India and. Service station master. And, but I love where he says, I have asked myself many times why we mistrusted this man. Perhaps despite his good intentions, we saw only his unquestionable authority and assumed the worst. But did we do so because of the situation or because of something inherent in us? And I think that's where I just love that he's like open to that question, you know? Is it because of the situation or is it something in me? What is it in me that's not allowing me to trust?
That's beautiful, you know, to have the kind of courage, like you're saying, to ask those kinds of questions.
Yeah.
Well, and from that experience, you know, what Danny goes on to talk about how when he was studying in India, he had a Hindu philosopher teach him, and he said, to risk is to create a spiritual life. I love that. I thought that was so great. And it's being able to learn how to live on. What?
Let's finish that sentence. I really like this too. No. That you create a spiritual life on the razor's edge.
Yeah, on the razor's edge. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it feels
and
like to me.
Funny, I highlighted the whole last part of that paragraph, so that's funny.
Me too.
Well, and I really love Daniel too because you know he takes you step out past your comfort zone. That know that we could lose everything we guard about, and yet we go anyway. And he goes on to talk about that, and he said everybody's going to have their own level of what that risk might feel like. And I think you have to be very sensitive to what it is for you, and not be in a place where you really would encourage that in another person when you really haven't had a conversation about what that could look like for them. So I think it's a very it just goes back to trusting about how would I be able to move and have that and being able to be rewarded from having, that valuable change that I'm willing to surrender to. So anything you want to say about that, Aim? I'm sure you've helped people to embrace their change like that when being invulnerable and being able to go past their comfort zone.
The only place you learn is past your comfort zone. So what I encourage people to do is to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Because you're not going to learn something unless you admit you don't know something. And one of my favorite things to do is to have people take a small risk every day. Nothing, that's, life-threatening or whatever, but just take a little risk every day. And, trusting somebody with some information and see what happens. But take a little one.
In your My Best Worksheet, I love that because it made me wonder to think about what is a risk. What's a risk I can take today? I love answering that question whenever I have that every day. What's the risk I'm willing to take today?
And have you noticed over time?
Me right on outside of my.
Yay. Has your ability to do that changed? As in take more risks in any way?
I think I don't know if my ability to do it has changed. I think that my awareness of the risks I do take is there now, more there now. Like, look, this is, or being more open to like, I guess I could be a little more, you know, open to a risk today, you know, instead of just like, I'm a hunker downer, you know, and
I get it.
I play it safe. And so whenever, you know, when you're asking me to take a risk, that's a big thing for me. You know, I'm like, hold on. For some other people, like you're talking about, a little thing outside of their comfort zone might just be small for them, but for a little thing outside of my comfort zone, that's huge for me. Like, I like to stay right up in my zone of comfort. And so this is definitely,
then,
you know, whenever.
What happens is your area of comfort expands.
Right. Yes, for sure. Yes. Well, like, you would ask me, well, remember the first time you asked me to come on the podcast, I was like, totally thinking it, you know, like.
Yes.
You know, I never do that, right? And so, you know, that's just like this really great opportunity now to, you know, come here and just share myself. It's not that, you know, it's a risk I take, but it's not, feel near as risky as it did a year ago, you know?
Well, and it's trust on a couple of levels. Now you trust yourself more that you can be yourself, and that's great. Maybe you don't go to great, but we go to great. Because when you're fully you, it's amazing. You're always amazing, but it's just a deeper sense of amazing. And that you trust us to support you and have your back no matter where we end up going.
Right. Exactly. I love it.
So that's Razor's Edge. He's on that Razor's Edge. It's all good.
Owning that and saying, there is risk, and sometimes things don't go well. I was watching Drew Barrymore earlier today, and she said she went out on her sword about this particular product with her flowers makeup line, and she said sometimes when you fall on your own sword, it doesn't work out. But this has been their bestseller for 2 years. But she trusted herself enough, right, that she put herself at risk, you know, financially, and her company at risk.
Mm-hmm.
And
so much of this book, but you know, one of the last thing that I, you know, I love the story. There's, you know, about the woman, you know, so many things have come up. The woman and her, you know, staying by her dying father was amazing.
But what I really loved
was this story about him applying for this job with a program in Burlington, Vermont, working with these teenagers. And I love that he just says, you know, I had said yes to a challenge without the maturity or experience to meet it.
Mm-hmm.
What grace for himself, you know?
Yeah.
Well, he just said, I don't regret it, but yet it helped me to grow and being able to step back a little bit and just say, maybe that's too much of a risk.
Right, and I think that he threw up like these were the warning flags. You know, he developed life-threatening pneumonia, severe tonsil infection, a level of anxiety he never had before. Hey, if you're taking risks to where you're starting to feel great physical effects from it, you need to take a step back from that, right? Like, like I love that. It's like know the warning signals for you as a you know, in your health and your well-being when you've said yes to too much, or you know, and you're not really ready for that radical yes. Then find a different radical yes. That's a little closer to home. You know, like you don't got to go all the way to the extreme. You know, to be able to say it was radical enough, right? Like for me, that 10% outside my comfort zone, boy, that is very radical.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thank you for that. You know, because I think we tend to push ourselves and other people. How do I want to say this? We push people as much as we push ourselves. And that's not fair. Everybody's different. Everybody's level is different. And I honor you for knowing that in yourself and sharing that, because that can break a relationship when they, I'm just doing it for her own good. But if it's too far, then the relationship can rupture.
Right. Amy, can we take a little bit of time and talk about anxiety? Because I said one measure of stress is our lives is the amount of anxiety we carry. I don't know if you can kind of address that with trust a little bit.
Yeah, well, I think anxiety is a normal thing. So a lot of people have an anxiety, so know that that's a normal thing. When you butt up against something new or something shifts, you know, that you didn't expect to happen, you know, it's very normal to have anxiety. So, and I think, or certainly now we have higher anxiety than we've had maybe ever. And part of that, what I want to encourage people to do is to have tools. Certainly breathing is a great tool. Tapping, I mean, we have lots of great tools that we've shared in many shows. But what is most important is you have to practice and you have to be ready for when those moments come. Like meditation is great. Even 5 minutes a day or even 3 minutes. I have a book called The 3-Minute Meditator. Just a few minutes a day where you go to that still spot. And like a good friend of ours, Sarah, had a dental appointment last week, and she was really about it, which I don't blame her. I know Robin and I have that too. We have trauma from being the dentist. So I talked to her about one of my favorite techniques is to put your like the okay sign, put your index finger and your thumb, pinch them together, and when you're being, you know, they're working on your mouth, but pinch those together, and so you put the focus of the pressure on those fingers, and then imagine yourself being someplace that feels really good to you. For me, it's the beach, whatever. It doesn't matter. And you can do this anywhere, and people don't know what you're doing. Like, I'll do this when I go into the dentist, and my dentist now knows he just leaves me alone. When she's doing that okay signs, you want to leave her alone. So know that I think the most important that anxiety is normal. You need to do some kind of practice in your daily life. So when it hits, because it's going to hit and hits all of us, you have something to use. Does that help? Mm-hmm,
Does that make sense? Yes. Yeah.
You know, today, you know, this has been very stressful for my 7-year-old. It's, you know, hearing about electricity going out, hearing about, you know, boiling water, hearing about, you know, people being, you know, it being cold, it being very cold outside, not being able to go out and play, you know, just different things that are making her very nervous. And, you know, I did that with her today. Amy had her do squeeze her hand and her thumb and her index finger together, we did 3 deep breaths, and then we just talked about, like, we did some grounding, you know what I mean? Like, what are you afraid of? What's the worst that can, what are you worried about? What's the worst thing that you're worried about? She's like, she didn't even know what she was scared of. She just was, she's like, this has never happened before, and I don't know how to deal with this. And I was like, you don't even need to worry. We're totally taking care of you, you know? And, like,
wow.
I remember at the end of it, she said, you just made me feel a whole lot better, Mom. Thanks so much. And I was like, thank you, Amy.
Yay! Oh, that makes me so happy. Well, and I think that's it. And it's just, you know, that we do it real time when it's happening. And I honor you so much for who you are as a person and certainly who you are as a mother. And being able to address it and say, oh, just, you know, don't, you know, it's fine. It'll be fine. You really got there with her and really shared something that works on many different levels. So yay you. Yay her.
Yay. Yes.
Ooh, I have a perfect paragraph to read from that. It said, finding ways to say yes rather than no can make all the difference. This kind of facing reality is also a form of building trust. Putting ourselves in tense and difficult situations in which we are challenged to do the right thing can bring us great rewards. Running away can be the worst option. So just being able to find a yes. There's always a yes. Being able to find a yes.
And for our mindful moment, being certainly this you know, this next week, be looking at where do you say yes and where do you not say yes, and maybe I'm pushing too far with a yes or not. And then the reflective questions are wonderful. And we'll walk through all of them real quickly. But this is a really good one to look at, the first one here. On a scale of 1 to 10, how trusting do you think you are? In general, certainly do that. But I would, you know, this next week, kind of look, how trusting am I in this relationship, in my ability to do X? And just kind of, then you say, how trusting am I in this relationship or that relationship? Not from a good or bad place, but just kind of like, oh, maybe those are some areas I need to take some risk, little baby risk, on a regular basis. And can you surrender to something? What might that be? What are you willing to stop? Okay, this is one of my favorites. What are you willing to stop fighting with in your life?
I like that one too.
Yeah, that's a good one. What must you give up to find a radical yes in the world? In your world.
Mm-hmm.
And you say yes without knowing what will support you, what will support you along the way. We're all really good
at that.
That's
a big one. That's a big one.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then here, write a list of what you trust and what you distrust. What do you learn from that list? So what I recommend is just that if you don't do anything else, do the trust scale, 0 to 10, and different areas in the world. And let's just say that in terms of trust in general, I would say I'm an 8. How about you guys?
Yeah, I was going to say about between 7 and 8.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are definitely more trusting than me. I'm going to say around a 6.
Okay.
That's not bad, though. I don't think that's bad either, though. Anything over 5, I think, is good.
It takes a while for me to trust.
Yeah.
Okay. So, not good or bad. It just, it's good information to know about yourself. And over the, the next week, maybe look at you. So you think it's a 6 overall. Maybe looking at where is it, 0 to 10 in different areas.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. And figure out can I say yes without knowing what will support me along the way? That one I love. I love that. My son is, trying to figure out life. He's 19. He'll be 20 this spring. And he just, he's just trying so hard to only do things that have guaranteed outcomes, And I told him today, I told him yesterday, we were talking and he was, talking about going to school or finding a job or getting another job or what should he do? And I just said, finally, I said, honey, you're going to have to actually fail at something, you're going to have to try something and fail at it. And you're going to have to try it again. And until you can't just only do things that have guaranteed outcomes. It's not, reasonable.
Right? What the heck is a guaranteed outcome?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, right?
For him, is he going to become a millionaire? That's what he wants. He wants to make that money.
What does that guarantee your happiness? Just because you got a lot of money doesn't mean you're going to be happy. Right. So.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
Expectations. You got to watch those guys. They'll get you.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get you. Okay, girl. Mm-hmm. So I really work on those questions and just really kind of just spend some time with them as a good friend and see if what you can be able to open up within yourself. I think those are great ideas. So next week we'll be talking about loyalty, and I'm sure that's going to be just as hot a conversation now that Elena is so warmed up. Right? You're so warmed up. It's all good.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, ladies, you have a great week and be safe. Keep warm. And I just wish everybody.
We hope you enjoyed
listening
to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.